You're listening to Linux News Log, episode number 117 for Monday, February 5th, 2006. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Linux News Log podcast at linux.clicksurf.com, your source for Linux and open source related news on the net. Hey, everybody, you are listening to Linux News Log. I am your host, Adrian Bacon, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio BR2. Been a little bit under the weather. I've had this throat infection going on, so I haven't gotten as many shows out during January as I wanted to. I wanted to get back to a weekly schedule, and man, it just came and whooped down on me, and I didn't get cleared up until probably 2 or 3 days before I hosted the Tech Podcast Roundtable, and even then, I wasn't totally clear, and I'm still not 100%. So if I cough in the microphone or anything like that, you'll have to excuse me. I'm not doing it on purpose. I've just got this throat infection thing, and talking makes it worse. And so anyway, let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode. Monday, February 5th, 2007. This is episode number 117. See, there I go again. The first story that we've got is from IT Jungle. Walmart cops to buying SUSE Linux from Microsoft. This is one of the first sales of using the reseller arrangement that Microsoft set up for SUSE Linux last November. Starts off, commercial Linux distributor Novell said that last week that retailing giant Walmart is among the first customers to take advantage of the reseller arrangement that Microsoft set up for SUSE Linux last November. The two companies said that Walmart is buying SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 10 to deploy in its data centers and will use the certificates that Microsoft bought in bulk to provide to its Windows customers who also want to support Linux. So very, very nice. Hopefully we will see more of this. How's that? Microsoft selling Linux. Who would have ever thought that day would happen, really? The next story that we've got is from PressZoom, global news service and press release distribution. Linspire developer, commercial DVR software comes to desktop Linux. Linspire Inc., developer of the commercial desktop Linux operating system of the same name, and FreeSpire, the community desktop Linux operating system, and Sage TV, a pioneer in personal video recording and home media center technologies that combine television, music, and related media into a complete, easy-to-use home media experience, today announced the availability of Sage TV Media Center version 6 for users of the Linspire and FreeSpire desktop operating system. Very, very cool. I wish that more companies would do that. Excuse me, I've got some ruffling going on here. You know, that sort of thing is the type of thing that I really like to see in software manufacturers going along and making Linux, you know, providing, if not good Linux support already, better Linux support, or just providing any kind of Linux support over nothing at all. From the Register, 3Com adds Linux Blade to routers. Interoperability and openness will be the keys to the network in the future, 3Com claimed, as it announced Linux-based blades for its 6000 series routers that will let them run third-party apps. Nice. The vendor also unveiled a technology partner program to help others make their hardware and software interoperate with 3Coms. The company said it wants to develop an ecosystem around its open systems networking, IP telephony, and security gear. It added that there's already 4 apps available to run on the router module, security software from Q1 Labs, a traffic optimizer from Converged Access, Veracepts, I guess, compliance software, and VMware. That's pretty sweet. You know, it's stuff like that I like. From eWeek, Novell lands a major Linux desktop contract in France. This is cool. At the Pear Solutions Linux show on January 30th, PSA Peugeot Citroën, I guess, Europe's second largest automobile manufacturer, and Novell announced the signing of a multi-year contract for the development of up to 20,000, or deployment, I'm sorry, of up to 20,000 Novell SUSE Linux Enterprise desktop installations, plus 2,500 copies of SUSE Linux Enterprise Server. Wow. That is a buttload. That's all I got to say. That is a complete and utter load of systems. Amazing. Stuff like that is pretty cool. Okay. Our sponsor today is GoToMeeting. These days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. GoToMeeting is a versatile tool. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. You can have unlimited meetings for one flat rate, which means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself, free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. Okay, we also have another spot that I would like to play. It's for the Scale Expo, so if you'll give me a moment, I will be right back.
Does your computer crash? Are you aggravated with computer viruses and spyware? Are you looking for an alternative to Microsoft Vista? Whether you're an expert or have only just heard of Linux, here's your chance to learn more at the Southern California Linux Expo. You'll meet users of all skill levels and organizations who will show you what open source software can do for you at home or at work. The Expo has speakers who will discuss various hot topics in open source software, and this year we've even added beginner sessions to especially help those of you who are just starting out. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 10th and 11th, 2007, at the Westin Hotel at Los Angeles International Airport. For more information or to register, please visit www.socallinuxexpo.com. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off your registration. We'll see you there.
All right. Excuse me. The next story that we have is from Network World. The Linux Foundation forms from two separate standards groups. While divisions and differences rage among Linux and open source vendors, two Linux-focused standards and technology organizations recently joined forces, at least ostensibly, for the betterment of the open source operating system and community. The two groups here are the Open Source Development Lab, otherwise known as the OSDL, and the Free Standards Group, otherwise known as the FSG. Instead of calling itself the OSDL-FSG, what a horrible name, the group will be known as the Linux Foundation, luckily for us. So I never really did think that the two of them separately were very effective at what they were trying to do, so hopefully they'll have a little more effectiveness bound together like this. We'll certainly see. The next story that we've got is from the CRN website. And this has actually been throwing a huge hoopla up in the blogosphere. The Free Software Foundation threatens Novell with a Linux ban. The Free Software Foundation is reviewing Novell Inc.'s right to sell new versions of Linux operating system software after the open source community criticized Novell for teaming up with Microsoft Corporation. The community of people wants to do anything they can to do or can to interfere with this deal and all deals like it. They have every reason to be deeply concerned that this is the beginning of a significant patent aggression by Microsoft, Eben Moglen, the foundation's general counsel, said Friday. You know, I think you guys give Microsoft way too much credit. This very well may be the case, but given the other movements that they've been making, I have a hard time seeing this happening without them coming under legal fire from some Department of Justice of either the United States or some other country. I mean, they're already in enough trouble over in Europe. I just can't see them, you know, using this as an opportunity to stomp even harder than they already have. I don't know. That's just me. The next story that we've got is from Yahoo Finance. Linux Magazine selects Zimbra as one of the top 20 companies to watch in 2007. They've been honored alongside Hewlett-Packard, Intel, IBM, and Microsoft. Zimbra, the leader in open-source next-generation collaboration and messaging software, today announced that it has been named one of the top 20 companies to watch in 2007 by Linux Magazine. The Linux Magazine 20 Companies to Watch in 2007 list features vendors that are best positioned to spur Linux and open source adoption while delivering on the immediate needs of the marketplace. So, very cool. Obviously, we'll be watching the companies in this list. Zimbra is only one of quite a few, actually, and see what kind of effect that they have. There'll definitely be ones that we'll want to at least keep an eye on. From eweek.com, Mainsoft releases new Windows Web to Linux dev tools. Mainsoft has upgraded its plugin for Microsoft's Visual Studio 2005 to help developers run their Visual C++ applications on Linux and Unix, following on its recent release of a new preview of the company's Grasshopper tool for enabling ASP.NET applications to run on Linux and Unix. Mainsoft announced the availability of its Visual Main Win C++ for Unix and Linux version 5.1.1 on January 31st. So very, very nice. I'm more of a Java developer than I am a C++ developer. But still, I have used Visual Studio quite a bit in the past. Not so much recently, but a couple of years ago, I did quite a bit of C++ work. Anyway, so that will pretty much do it for this episode. I do have not an email, but a comment. For those of you who are not aware, the last thing I posted up on the feed was a tech podcast session. I hosted the last tech podcast roundtable. And anyway, one of the comments I got from listener Frank, he said, "Adrian, great show. Some small hints that might help you improve your Mac OS X experience. Forward delete on a MacBook keyboard is Alt delete. Thank you very much." Actually, that turns out it's an FN Alt delete because I have a MacBook Pro and the Alt and Option key are the same one. So you can only get to the Alt by doing FN Alt delete. It's better than no forward delete, but I'd rather have it be one button. Anyway, continuing on. "A folder slideshow is as easy. Mark all pictures, double click to load them in preview and start the slideshow," which is a shift command F. That I did not know. Thank you for pointing that out. It wasn't real obvious or intuitive how you were supposed to go about doing that. I mean, I was kind of coming across from like a Windows XP point of view, where if you go with, go to a folder in Explorer that has a bunch of pictures in it, on the left-hand toolbar, I guess you can call it, or information bar, or whatever Microsoft calls it, the first link up at the very top is View Slideshow. And you click it, and it automatically, you know, does the whole slideshow thing. So I was kind of expecting functionality similar to that, and it wasn't really immediately obvious how to just view a slideshow without going into iPhoto, you know? So anyway, thanks for pointing that out. And also, let's see here. Searching in a folder is possible. Just use the search box in that folder's Finder window toolbar. I actually discovered that before I read your message because I was so frustrated with it. I mean, I kept hearing all these great things about Spotlight, and I was just like, this is just driving me nuts. So I started playing around with it, and I did figure out how to get that to go. So anyway, thanks for the messages, I should say. That will pretty much do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, you can visit us on the web at linux.quicksurf.com. Do feel free to leave a message on any one of the posts like listener Frank did. You can also email me, linux@quicksurf.com. I do accept audio comments, and I do have an audio comment from a listener, which I will play shortly. And also, you can call my voicemail hotline, 602-466-3134. That would be 602-466-3134. I do have some messages on there. I just haven't pulled them off. I don't know if they're for Linux News Log or if they're Apple or Microsoft News Log messages, but I will check them. And if any of them are for Linux News Log, I'll play them on the next show. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. And also, we are listed over at Blueberry, BLUBRRY, the place where podcasters and podcast listeners finally come together. Okay, now I got an email from listener Agonoth, and he sent me a relatively long comment. I've decided I'm going to go ahead and play it here, but I wanted to wait until the very end because it's like 25 minutes long. And I did listen to it, Agonoth, and I will have some comments afterwards. For those of you who don't want to continue listening, feel free to stop now. But for those of you who do, we're pretty much at the 17-minute mark, and I'm going to go ahead and pull in Agonoth's comment, and we'll continue from there. Just a sec.
Adrian, this is a listener in Atlanta. I think you're stressing a little bit too much about the Ogg Vorbis feed. The whole point of open source and all this stuff should be, like you say, convenience. I know I support open source and the GNU and all this movement, but when it comes down to practicality, I'm not going to subscribe to an Ogg Vorbis feed so that I can then transform it and back into an MP3 so I can put it on my MP3 player so I can listen to it on the way to work in the morning. That's just not what I would do. That's inefficient. If I had an MP3 player that would pay an Ogg Vorbis feed, or I mean a Ogg Vorbis player or whatnot, if I could find a new kernel for this player, I would. I mean, I don't have a Nomad, but I mean, if I could, I would. But when it comes down to it, there's not one out yet. I don't have enough time to research this and write one, and that way I can subscribe to Ogg Vorbis. And anytime I can, I use Ogg Vorbis. I mean, transforming your whole MP3 library into an Ogg Vorbis library, do it if you want to. You'll lose audio quality because it comes from the format that loses, and then you go to a format that loses because Ogg Vorbis and MP3, they both lose. So when you go to MP3 to Ogg Vorbis, you're losing quality. You're losing sound. And so I can't say I've done that. I know I would not do that, although I would like to. If I was making my MP3 collection from CDs, well then, heck yeah, let's go Ogg Vorbis. Let's go FLAC. Let's do it, whatever we got to do. But you're stressing way too much over the Ogg Vorbis feed. If no one wants the Ogg Vorbis feed, just let it go. I mean, if they really want Ogg Vorbis, I mean, you're stressing over the time it takes. And if you've already seen there's only less than 1% of the people that want Ogg Vorbis, don't put it out.
Actually, I have comments about that. I think
they've come a long, long way.
We'll talk about it another show.
And I think we should all support them. But we should only support them when we can. Because that's the whole point of Linux. That's the reason it was created. It wasn't created just to be out there. It wasn't created just to be a controversy. It was created because the way proprietary software does it, it's not right. It's just not how software should be. This is our field. This is our. I mean, I'm a younger guy. I'm in the younger low 20s, and I think that I wasn't here during the 80s, or consciously here during the 80s, and that whole big struggle where you guys had all that fun with the games coming out and all that stuff.
How but, I remember.
I mean, this is our battle. We can take down. I mean, we should. The goal is not to take down Microsoft as much as bad as it has gotten. I mean, it's like American politics. People cling to the political name of Democrat and Republican and swing, and it's just like, well, I'm a Republican, so obviously I'm going to vote Republican. Well, even in Linux, that's not true. Republican, Democrat is just a name. I generally agree with Republicans, so I'm going to tell them, one, I'm a Republican, so that I can say pretty much everything I believe in a nutshell. That does not mean that whenever a Republican president comes up, I automatically agree with him. Same with Linux. Microsoft doesn't do it right for us. But let's be damn certain that we make it very clear that Microsoft does do it right for a lot of people. Because if there are a lot of things that Windows really does do well, and that's present things in a intuitive manner for people who don't know. I know for a fact that if I try to teach my parents Linux, they will go through the wall. I'd be teaching forever. And they've managed to use Windows well enough so that it's fine. And most-wise, I like it because I can just tell them, don't worry about it, Windows will do it. You don't need to know about that. Windows can do it. You can just do this, and that's fine, because Windows takes care of the rest. In Linux, I like to have the power to do it. I like to say, well, no, I don't want it that way. I want my files here. I want them to always go here. I want to run this program when I want to run it, and not when you want to run it. And I don't like this, so I can go down the source code and change it. I want it smaller. I don't want all the eye candy. I don't want all this help files. I don't want all these stupid balloons. But just like you say, you should advocate it for use. That's the point of Linux. That's the whole point, is making the software do it what you need it to do. If the software already does it the way you need it to do, hey, that's fine. That's it. Generally, I do agree that we should try and use open source software over proprietary software. Just for the fact that people are looking at Linux, and when they look at Linux, they look at the community. And just like the political analogy, we shouldn't all be extreme Linux, left-wing Linuxes, I mean, or right-wing Linux. We need to be practical. We need to be normal people when we come to it. We can't be hardcore nerds saying, hey, man, Commander Kirk used Linux, baby. You know, we got to be practical with this. We got to say, well, I use Linux because it gives me the power to do what I want to do quickly and efficiently. I can change anything about it I want, and it suits me. It is me. It's an extension of me. It shows how I like to work. Whereas Windows, it takes a lot. You have to go around the world to customize it. But if it works for you and on its own, well, hey, use Windows. I mean, that doesn't hold true now because there's not a great deal of interoperability between Windows and Linux. And to be honest, I tried to switch over to Linux full time and it did not work. Because like I said, I am young and I play a lot of computer games, and that just doesn't fly on Linux. I mean, I'm happy with OpenTTD on Linux, but I have a few friends that like to play more proprietary games like Dawn of War, you know, things like that. And so for things like that, I do need Windows. Not to mention, SLI is kind of useless on Linux when I'm just using a Transport Tycoon game. Anyway, I know you probably shouldn't put this on air because it's recorded in the car.
Oh, that's quite all
right. Right now, I'm trying to get to work here. I'm going to be late. But Anyway, I want to say, Adrian, I listen to you every morning as I drink my coffee. I like to drink coffee on the way to work, and I really can't do it listening to songs. And our talk radio over here isn't on in the morning. It's just actually pitiful. It's news, directions, and it's always the same news. And it's, I mean, not directions, but traffic, and it's always the same traffic news. So I listen to you every morning. I love what you do.
Thank you.
Now, I know this probably isn't, I haven't heard you do it a lot, but I have an idea. I'm a real big idea person. I'm an okay programmer. I wouldn't say I'm good at all. but I have this idea for Linux. What I really like is what I love about Linux is the way the openness. I mean, what I want to do is I want to write a Windows manager and eventually my own distribution. I think it's, well, I can't remember the name of the distro that does the file structure the way I want to do it. And that will be longer down the lines, but basically all that comes down to is I like to put all my applications in one area, and I don't like to have all their configuration files in another directory. And the way I want to do that is create a bunch of system links, and I want to do that automatically. But let's get to something else. The Windows Manager is something I've been thinking about doing for a while. Let me just run this past you, see what you think. I mean, I've been thinking for a while, but it's still an infinite idea. I mean, it's still low. But what I've been thinking about is a Windows Manager and maybe a desktop environment, because I just really don't like the taskbar. I like the whole Fluxbox thing, the boxes and all that, where I can, the main menu is right click. I like that. But the biggest thing I like about Windows Managers is that it's free form. And I'm thinking of an abstract way to do this that's more efficient. And for me, the one thing I do love are sidebars. I've always loved sidebars because they're more efficient. They save space, especially with tabs. And so what I was thinking was having a Windows Manager based around a sidebar. For my example, I would have the sidebar on the right. No taskbar, no start buttons, no other jungle, but a sidebar. And we all know there's that little catch button thing that lets you click on it, it expands the sidebar, click on it again, and it collapses the sidebar, drag it, and it changes the width of the sidebar. A few things I would do differently would be that button that collapses it would always be on the right side of the screen, because I like to just shoot my mouse to the side of the screen and click. That way I always know that button is there, so it'll either collapse it or spend it when I go to the right. Also, it could be key bound. Anyway, the main principles of this Windows Manager would be that the perfect application, you can change everything about it. Everything is configurable. However, the configuration and the setting the configurations are transparent. That comes with all the configurations working, and that it's invisible when you don't need to change the configurations, you know? I mean, in other words, not this huge options thing that you have to set up first. You always have to go into, and maybe more than just a text file. Anyway, back to the sidebar. I know I'm horrible at keeping on subject. Anyway, the sidebar actually have two rows of buttons, one on the right side of the sidebar and one on the left side of the sidebar, and in the middle would be the content, you know, like a panel, just like a little panel. And on the left side would be sort of like your quick launch buttons. You can place them there, and those are buttons that you would run. Like, it would open up a directory, it would open up a program, it would open up a menu, okay? Anyway, that would be customizable on the left side. On the right side would be the categories for the meat of the sidebar. In other words, let's say the first button is favorites, okay? And this is favorites beyond web page favorites. Let's say you click that button and it's like clicking a tab, and the sidebar inside changes and it shows all of your favorites. And you can choose an expanded view, a small view, a summary view. And basically, let's say the first entry is google.com. The second entry is user/source. The third entry is your custom kernel you're building. Okay? And the fourth entry is console in that already set to the working directory where you're building that kernel. Okay? Let's say the second button is running tasks. And there it lists the running task, and inside it lists how long each program has been running, how much CPU usage it's using, how much RAM it's using, etc. Kind of like pressing Control up delete and XP. And then from there, we could minimize button or windows to the tab, and then we'd have a button called minimized applications. Or, like, the way I like to do it, I don't like icons on my desktop. The only icons I like are minimized applications. Minimized applications go down to the desktop. Another way, thing we could do, this is a big one that I like, is, I don't know, maybe not even a new language, but allowing programs to be written to run in the sidebar. In other words, imagine an MP3 player, an Ogg Vorbis player, a media player inside the sidebar.
Like a widget.
And the good part about this is it's like an active content, okay? Let's say you write the applet, and so the top of the sidebar, meet the pane, is your play buttons, your play, pause, next, all this stuff. And then after that is a picture, the picture of the album that's inside the Ogg Vorbis file or whatever media file. And then under it, let's say you grab active content from Wikipedia, and you display that in the lower sidebar. And that would view every time a song changes, and obviously they could click on other things. You know, let's say when you launch that media player that runs in your sidebar, it creates a little button on the right side of the sidebar that is your media player, and it's always running once you've launched it. It's got that button there. But you can click off that button to go back to your, let's say, your processes or your bookmarks, and it would continue playing. You just wouldn't have to see it, okay? And that would allow us to do other things, because if we added the scripting to it, we could add hooks to it, like, I don't know, grabbing when... Allow it to do special things from inside the OS, in other words. Make special kernel calls, I don't know. Special Windows calls, I don't know, we can give it some oomph, I guess. And another thing would be, here's another thing I don't like, is you look at the Windows managers out there right now, and there's no really good hybrids. It's either you really love working with your mouse, or you really love working with your keyboard. That's just how it is. What about one that goes between them? Because I love tiling Windows managers, but I like to use my mouse too. I like rat poison, but sometimes I forget Meta L, Meta H, or Control L, or Control H. You see what I'm saying? It's just nuts. And so what I'm saying is we could add both, kind of like a hybrid. Kind of like when you launch something in tiled mode, when you click the little button on the sidebar that toggles up or down that says auto tiling or non auto tiling, and it would automatically tile your windows to you. That could be a pretty way of doing it. It could kind of make a picture of the sidebars kind of reaching out and encapsulating this window, or it could do it in just a non-graphical way. But even still, you could still click the windows and drag it so you could switch its place with other windows and move it around. I mean, it would never move, but you could change its position on the screen, you know what I mean? Say there's three windows, two at the top, one at the bottom, they're all auto-tiled. You want the top left one to be at the bottom. So you grab the top left one at the title bar and you drag it to the bottom. And when you get to the bottom, it switches the two. You let it go. Boom. Now your top left one is at the bottom and your bottom is at the top left. That's something you can't do with Rat Poison. You have to do it with key bindings. And another thing I was thinking about was having an integrated file explorer. Obviously, you click that favorites of your direct. You click that directory where you're working on that kernel, and it displays the directory inside the tab bar or the sidebar. Now, this could be a rich display of the big icons and the big folders. It could be a hierarchy view where it shows you in the little list pane expand, you know, all that stuff. In other words, colorful and non-colorful, big or non-big, small or not big. Anyway, and what we could, if we don't do it that way, another thing I was thinking about was, you have your Windows Explorer opened up. I may have to write one for this. Let's say you just left-click on a file once, and you want to see what the file properties are. Well, boom, as soon as you click on that file on your sidebar, it expands and it shows the metadata from that file. And let's say you press a key binding shift tab, boom, and it automatically puts focus over on the sidebar, and you use your arrow keys, you're going up, down, you're looking for delete. Okay, find delete, you press spacebar, boom, it's going to delete the file. It asks you, okay, you delete the file, now the file's not there anymore. Sidebar says, okay, give focus back to the file explorer. And now it's like, instead of having to right click and expand a menu, which you could still do, I mean, let's not take that away, but it can also do it in the sidebar, kind of like what Windows XP does with that little bar. I hate that fucking bar in the explorer.
I'm going to have to bleep you out.
I like. I mean, also, I was looking at Mac OS 10, I think it is. The new one's supposed to come out, where they had the workspaces where you could zoom far out and you could see all four of them at once.
That's Leopard.
That's a nice feature to have. I don't know how usable it is, but I don't know. It's there's some things to think about. I like having everything in the Windows Manager completely configurable. That's what I like. And I think that that's an intuitive way to go about working with Windows. Because let's get rid of all this, I'm taking up space on your screen forever stuff, while still maintaining the efficiency for someone who's not 100% always, okay, let's key. You know what I mean? Also, I mean, we can add applets for changing the look of the sidebar. We can add applets for changing the content of the sidebar, kind of like G-Desklets and A-Desklets, Super Caramba, things like that, but maybe not so eye candy for the sidebar. You know, showing your CPU stats, just plain CPU stats on your sidebar, and maybe you can have different tabs or different modes, those buttons on the right-hand side could be called modes, for your sidebar. That, let's say one of them is just your CPU information. How much swap base am I using? How many, what's the three greatest processes? How much physical memory is left? All this stuff. Let's say you want to have that up all times, but you don't want the look of the regular sidebar, so when you select that mode, it changes the look of the whole sidebar into this nice, pretty image that that changes the look of the whole sidebar just for this one mode. When you click back over the bookmarks, it changes the mode back. Oh God, someone just ran out in front of me. Anyway, at the very bottom of the sidebar, we could also have applets, because I would always like a quick run. That's always there. Just a little text bar where you can put in commands into the console. Instead of, like, let's say you want to launch KDevelop. Instead of having to open up a console and typing in KDevelop ampersand, you know, right in the background, you can just type in KDevelop ampersand and run it in the background. Right there, without having to press, well, I think it's Alt F4 and KDE to launch your quick run. I mean, these are just things I'm thinking of. And you could keep those key bindings. I mean, let's say you're used to KDE, so Alt F4 gives focus to the run command dialog. And this also introduces a different way to minimize. Like, let's say you want to minimize a window, but you want to keep an eye on it, kind of. So you press a special key binding, maybe a button, that doesn't actually minimize this window completely out of view. It doesn't shade this window completely out of view, but it minimizes it to like a thumbnail. That's actively updated, and it goes down to the sidebar. The sidebar increases in size. Let's say it kind of, I don't know, maybe we want to use clipping, and it just kind of encapsulates, it kind of reaches out like an amoeba and grabs that little thumbnail view of the window, and you can set the size of the thumbnails and all that stuff, and you could have different ones and all this stuff. Maybe we could do that with the workspaces. I mean, it's an idea that can be expanded on tenfold, but I think that I just love sidebars. I think they reuse space well. I think I like the constant look of it, and then when you want to, you can click that button that collapses that thing into the corner, and you don't have to look at it at all. Or maybe we can have a shaded view that just shows your not the mo buttons on the right, but the mo buttons on the left, and that's all you see. See the collapse button, the kind of quick launch buttons on the left side of the taskbar, and I mean it saves your space. And this could go either way. It could go eye candy. It could go non-eye candy. Should you be a fully keybind person, we could do that. If you like a fully mouse-driven Windows manager, we could do that, too. Or we can do, like I said, like I like, it's a hybrid. You can use both. You can use all keybindings and then fall back on mouse. If you forget what the keybind is for switching between workspaces and applications. You know what I mean? It's just something to toy with. Also, one thing I would love to do, I think this would just help everybody out, especially since they released and are releasing Java open source, is I really like that language, Java.
So do I.
It is slow. I mean, sometimes I think it's a little too object-oriented sometimes. I mean, when I first started, I just kind of got lost in all the references, you know? You set it equal, but you're not setting an equal, you're just assigning a reference. And, well, I don't like that. I mean, it was kind of like, oh God, what am I assigning a reference here, or am I assigning a value?
In Java, everything is a reference.
This is a temporary variable, and this is a global variable. But what is going to happen here? And then maybe it just takes a little bit more research, but I was thinking that we should increase the performance of these applications by by creating a binary compiler that would allow us to run. I mean, I know it would defeat the purpose of Java being the whole cross-platform, blah, 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 but I would like the idea of having a compiler that takes it down to machine code so that you could run it like a C or C++ application, and that would help. Maybe the sidebar could run Java, and we could add our own little, our own calls or whatnot. I don't know, like I said, it's just two honest ideas, and to be honest, if you listen to this whole message, I mean, this is just me in my car recording off my MP3 player, which I spent so that much money on. I'm sorry, I'm bad at swearing on mechanic by day. Anyway, I know it's horrible, but I just, the way it's going, I don't know, you just, these Windows managers, they get me. They get me because it's either all eye candy, a little bit of eye candy, or no eye candy, and there's no happy medium for me. Functionality with me, and I'm not a really great programmer. I don't know if I could do a Windows manager. But if you got the idea out there, I think there could be some help coming on. I mean, if you agree with this, this can be private between you and I. If you just let me know what you think of it as a sink or swim idea, you think no one will go with it or some will go with it. I mean, I'm not a really good writer. I'm not a really good advocate, really good spokesperson. I think I just think this is a nice idea, something I'd like to see. Thanks, Adrian. I support what you do. It's a huge file, and if you've gotten this far, thanks so much for listening.
You're welcome.
Hey, man, keep it going. If you got to put commercials in the thing, put commercials in the thing, because I tell you, these two commercials you do, maybe, you just started doing two with the Visa, dude, it's all good. There's nothing wrong with only two commercials. And when you start taking a commercial break every 5 minutes, you've gone really far, and you're probably losing a lot of listeners. but just two, come on, dude.
The world is mine.
Fast forward this stuff. Come on. Anyway, hey man, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. Hope you're having a great time. I love your podcast. Thanks. And bye.
All right. So that is the comment from Agonoth. I did try to pre-warn you. It is a little bit long. Couple of takeaways from that. The Ogg Vorbis feed, I've actually been tracking the stats on that. We will talk about that a little bit in a later show. But I'll leave that for another discussion. And just so you know, obviously I originally dropped it the first time around. And I do get more than one or two emails a week about how come when I wasn't carrying Ogg Vorbis, how come I didn't have an Ogg Vorbis feed. And so I decided to reinstate it just to see what it does. So we'll take a look at it here in another couple of shows, maybe at the end of February, and see how it goes. Because I went for a little while there where I wasn't... I was living at work, basically, and I didn't really get that many shows out. So I don't want to unintentionally skew the statistics, so to speak. So at any rate, in terms of the other items that you talked about, the window manager and the sidebars, I think that's a really, really good idea in terms of, you know, let's try something new. But I don't personally have the time to commit to something like that. I mean, I already work a full-time job, and I host and produce 5 different podcasts, which lately I have barely even been getting 3 of them out. So that, and I've got a personal life on top of all of this, so I'm one busy guy. However, I will give you exposure. So, and I've started off the first part of that by playing your comment here unedited, with the exception of bad words. Please try not to do that. But anyway, if you're willing to go over to SourceForge and set something up, come up with a name for it, you know, for what you'd like to do. I know everybody goes, oh God, no, not another window manager. But hey, listen, you know, if the window managers aren't cutting it for you, there's got to be somebody who'd be willing to help you and put some time in, or, you know, working with you or whatever. And, you know, if it's something that's really, truly that good, you're not going to be the only person who finds it useful. A lot of the stuff you talked about, I thought that was, you know, quite a bit of it was a pretty decent idea. If it's not incorporated into other window managers, why not do a window manager that does what you're talking about? That, you know, there's no reason why not, given that somebody's willing to code it. I think it's a great thing, but, you know, outside of giving you exposure and helping you promote it to some extent by, you know, talking about it here on the show or whatever, then, you know, I personally just don't have time to do something like that. I really don't. And, but if anybody in the audience does have time or thinks that that's pretty interesting, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of Linux guys that listen to my show. You know, email me and I'll forward the emails on to Agonoth. And, you know, if Agonoth, if you set something up in SourceForge, forward it to me. I'll link to it in the show notes and, you know, point people to it. You know, I mean, I'm honestly, I would rather give you an opportunity to succeed than say, wow, that's, you know, whatever. You know, you did have some valid things that, you know, I know a lot of window managers, you know, much to your chagrin, don't do. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I still don't use Linux on a day-to-day basis for my main machine, is there's a lot of stuff that it doesn't do yet. Let's preface this, yet, that I wished it did, but I don't have time to monkey with it. You know, I just don't have time. I've, you know, got a full-time job and, you know, home life and five podcasts to produce. I really just don't have that many hours. There just aren't enough hours in the day. So, you know, that doesn't mean that I won't monitor it, or if I run across something that I like, I won't promote it. I certainly will if I like it, you know. I'm an equal opportunity promoter or basher, you know, and I think that you've got some good ideas for what you want to do. So what I would submit to all of the rest of the listeners out here, if you've listened this far, if you're interested in, you know, maybe seeing where you can go with this, let me know. And I'll hook you up with Agonauth or vice versa. And if you get something set up on SourceForge, you know, forward it to me and I'll post it. You know, you're never going to get anywhere until you say something about it and somebody else goes, hey, that's pretty cool. Let's see what happens. So let's take some action and see where it goes. I know this is kind of short notice and everything, but I did get your message, what was it, almost a week ago? However, you know, all things considered, if the things that you were talking about with the sidebar does not end up in its own little window manager, you know, potentially, hopefully, somebody that does do programming work on various window managers will go, wow, you know what? This guy obviously has spent some time thinking about it. There might be some merit to this. Because, you know, personally, I like a little bit of the lean, clean user interface. iCandy certainly isn't a bad thing, but if it gets in the way, then it's not iCandy, it's junk. So I'm playing this and submitting to the audience. If you like what you hear, if you've listened this long, you know, let me know or leave a comment in the show notes for this show. And Agonauth, if you would like to set up a SourceForge project for it, you know, figure out what you want to name it and set something up so that other people can contribute, and let me know what it is, and I'll put it up in the I'll put it up and talk about it on the next show, or if it's, you know, a month from now or whatever, just, you know, keep me in the loop, and I will give you exposure to my audience to enough of a degree that you can get some help. So anyway, that's where that's at. We're already close to an hour here. We're just under 55 minutes, 53 minutes, a little over 53 minutes. So I will leave you with that. Thank you so much for sending me the message, and you're welcome for playing it. You know, I think that you got some great ideas there, and without exposure, they will probably never come to fruition. So I kind of tossed it up a little bit, and I thought, you know what? There's been a lot of stuff that I've wanted to do that's never happened because it just didn't have exposure. Well, guess what? I'm giving you some exposure. So let's see what happens with it. If nothing happens, then at least people know about it and possibly it'll end up in some other window manager. Or, you know, if people think it has enough merit, then they'll go ahead and do something about it. So I thank you very much for listening, and I will talk with all of you on the next show. Next Monday, I believe, is when I'm planning to do it. So I'll talk with you then. Bye-bye.